brought every book in the world with me tonight. I ain't gonna use all this. Ephesians chapter 4. Brought my book because I thought I was going to do a little reading out of it at the beginning. But I don't know if that's going to happen. Well, I will say this. I will say, when reading, I think your definition of a thing gives you the viewpoint of it. And if you have a wrong definition, then you have a wrong understanding of what something can mean if you don't know what a word means. Maybe you have a off definition of something. So now whatever that word is, when put in a sentence, you'll have that same connotation because of the way that you define it. And one of the things that I want to stress in this class is that church is an organism. It is not a building. It is not an organization, although it can be organized, but the DNA of church is you. The DNA of church is life. The DNA of church is being. It still amazes me in 2019, I'm saying it like I've been here for so long, but I haven't, but it still amazes me that we have so many technological advances and we know so many different things. We have access to so much information and so many different ideas and so many different versions and this and that and the other. And it's amazing to me that we still overlook Jesus chronically. We overlook him chronically. We talk about every subject under the sun. There's a book for everything. There's a book for everything in the world, but then there's a Christian book for everything. I mean, every subject you can think of, there's a book for. And a lot of times, you have to be mindful with the books because those books can become law to you again. Mm-hmm. Not saying don't read books. God bless the books. Jesus didn't write any. But when reading the books, you have to treat them the same way you treat everything. You have to treat me. You have to treat everybody that you hear. You have to treat yourself. You know if I'm going to treat myself, I love my neighbor as I love my... You know, if I'm going to treat myself this way, I'm going to treat you. You have to bring every thought that you have to the obedience of Christ. Every thought, every feeling, every step, every order, every rule, everything that you try to follow, you have to bring it unto the obedience of Christ. If there is no Christ, there is no life. And where there's no life, there's got to be death. And so I want to make sure, I say this in all my class, I want to make sure that we don't overlook Christ. And I think sometimes we think we're not. And we think we're not because we're reading the Bible. But you have to bring everything in the Bible to the obedience of Christ. Every subject, every character to the obedience of Christ. If we don't bring everything to the obedience of Christ, then everything, we'll be doing everything. We'll still be sacrificing bulls. Sacrificing goats. Why won't we do that anymore? The blood was shed on the cross. The price was paid, all right? Right? The sacrifice has already been made, right? And so he doesn't accept bulls anymore. He needs you. I need you to bleed. I need your blood. Y'all understand me? But why is it that we don't? That's in the Bible. The Bible says it was a good time to sacrifice goats and bullocks and everything, right? But that's not for you. Because when Jesus comes, he gives a new plan. He gives the original plan. But we overlook it. Even if you pay attention, even after Jesus, when you start talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, even when you get to the book of Acts, and they begin to do a lot of works and a lot of different things, it's still resemblance of the law. You have to pay attention. You have to look at everything from Christ's perspective, right? Don't be fearful. People are afraid of this conversation a lot of times. Are you touching the Bible, every word is written, Holy Spirit, ordained by God. Yes, ordained by God to give you some direction about who you really are. I'll let you write some other things to point in that direction. Most of the things that are written are either to show you who you are or who you ain't. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus show you who you are, and I can show you who you are by showing you who you ain't too. You get it? You're not David. You have some David qualities, right? But you're not David. David is not your Lord and Savior. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Paul is not your Lord and Savior. God bless Paul, but he's not my identity. We similar. You know what I'm saying? But Jesus Christ is the only thing in common. You understand what I'm saying? And so we chronically, and this is why there's a class that has to be called Church Unusual. This is why we have to refer to it and bring it back to some semblance, because we've skipped Jesus. And we don't think so. We don't think so because we call his name out 22 times in a worship song, right? Although I'm sure he's probably like, huh, huh. You call my name Mantra, huh? Mantra, huh? You call Mantra, huh? Mantra, huh? Mantra, huh? What note you want to sing? Mantra, huh? Right? I'm not, you know, it's funny to me, and I'm not knocking it, but we do it religiously, traditionally. And he heard you the first time he called his name. There's power in the name of Jesus. Y'all believe that?
Yes, sir.
All right, but it's not in saying the name, because you said the name before and something didn't come through.
Right.
Tell the truth.
Right.
You said in the name of Jesus about something. Yeah, watching online, people don't like to talk about this. You just said in the name of Jesus about something and it didn't work.
That's right.
So it's not Alakazam.
Right.
It's in the name, the character. Mm-hmm. He said, if you ask anything in my name. They got one scripture. Jesus started talking. And he says, listen, there come a time where you're going to ask the Father. He ain't going to ask me nothing. He said, I ain't doing nothing for you. He said that. He said, then there's going to come a time where you're going to talk to the Father. You're going to talk to the Father. And you're going to say these things. And don't think that I'm going to do something about it, because I'm not. Jesus come and do it for us. No, he ain't come and do it for you. We overlook him. And so because we overlook him, we overlook us. Because we overlook his true identity, we've overlooked who we really are. And it's all he's been telling us the whole time. And so we move from tabernacles to sanctuaries. Right? We move from temples to cathedrals. Are y'all with me? So we went from building buildings to building buildings. We went from building monuments to God to building monuments to Jesus. And then we got into the function and the flow of the regular thing. And whether we think so or not, we look real familiar to the law before. Even in our giving sometimes, we sacrificial giving. But what are you giving? Is it of what you have or is it you? I tell you, I read in Psalm 51, David said, the burnt offerings ain't what you wanted, because if it was, I would have gave it to you. He said, that ain't going to do it no more. Now, David was on to something. Before something was on. If y'all get what I'm saying. Solomon, when Solomon started saying everything is vanity and vexation, he was vexed. And it seemed in vain, because he knew there was something else other than, and this is the wisest man ever lived before Jesus. But he knew something was missing, something else. I'm trying to get there, but something else. I've been doing everything, but something else is missing. He was talking about the Christ, the identity, the oneness with the Father, actually calling him Father. He was talking about this. He said, well, burnt offerings ain't going to do it no more. Because if it was so, I'd have gave it to you. He said, no. Now what you need is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I need you. You are the sacrifice. You are the one that he wants. Us. It's us. This is church. This is what church is. It's a living organism. It is you. And so when you get proper definition of things, then when you read things, sometimes even if the writer or the speaker may not even realize what you're realizing as you're hearing them, when you have proper definition, you begin to see through. Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
You begin to see through past the regular word or the regular saying, and you begin to see the identity of the Father. And not only him, but us. Because I am one with God. Say it.
I am one with God.
Now, I wouldn't tell you that. I wouldn't get you to say that. Somebody will cuss me out in some churches. But I wouldn't say that unless Jesus said it. John 17, he said, in one of the prayers, he said, Lord, let them be one. Let them be one as we are one. He's talking to John 15, he's saying, I'm in you and you in me and we in the Father. That sounds like one to me. And this is the point. You realize, like, the current concept, let's go current concept of church, right? Like, not what we're talking about not right now, like the real organism, but the current concept of church. They got a church on that corner, a church on that corner. They got how many denominations? They got Methodist, Baptist, Episcopalian, Catholic, Word of Faith became one, Full Gospel, Four Corners, I think it says, somebody said Four Corners, Four Square. They got Kojic, come on. I mean, am I missing? Did I say Methodist already? Did I say they got Seventh Day Adventist, Presbyterian, Lutheran? Oh my! Seventh Day Adventist don't sound like one to me. Sound like a bunch, and everybody got different bylaws. Different bylaws. You call them priest over here. You call them. Everybody got something different. So don't sound like one to me. You see the trick? Do y'all see the trick? And in the separation, we scream Jesus. Because Jesus, we all believe in Jesus, but we just believe in him differently. What does that mean? Some of y'all believe in the Trinity. Some of y'all believe in Jesus only. That's that old traditional stuff. And it has become separation all over again. And we don't even know it. Because we have chronically overlooked Jesus. We've taken Jesus as a figurehead. He's the face of the company. He's the figurehead of Christianity, but we hadn't taken him as the head. He's the figurehead, but not the head of the church. He didn't say he wanted to be the figurehead of the church. The head of the church. Right? Then the prophecy says, and the government shall be well. On his shoulders. What's on your shoulders? Your head. Let this mind, where your mind at? In your head. Let this mind be in you. Paul started talking about that. So the government is built on the mind of Christ. Yes. Are you understanding me?
Yes, sir.
But there is no government without the people. Mm-hmm. What you governing? If there is no person, if there is no identity, if there's no being, then what are we building for? Years from now, and I just, this is the way it's going to be, and, you know, you can fact check me or people can feel like, don't. And years from now, the churches will be empty. Church buildings to be empty. If we keep at this pace, chronically, Christianity-wide, churches will be empty. Because people will be tired of going to the buildings. It's preliminary. Because the buildings won't hold my mentality anymore. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It won't hold. I need to know who I am. You're not going to tell me who I am, I'm going to go find somebody who will tell me who I am. This was happening all day long. So I chapter one in the book, and I just want to read a little bit of it. I'm not going to go too far into it. But he starts talking, and when he refers to the church, he's talking about a physical place. He's talking about an organization. He's really referring to that. But today I read it, and my definition of church, I'm not saying my, but Christ's definition of church. Christ told us it's an organization. He didn't say it was a building. Christ never said, let's build some buildings. Not one time did he say, let's build a tabernacle. Anything he said, you destroy this tabernacle in 3 days. You see what I'm saying? Peter come in there when they transfigured. We were talking about that the other time. And his Moses and Elias and Jesus. He said, let's build 3 tabernacles. One for you. One. That's how we do. We think, come on, let's build a monument. I don't need your monument. I need a moment. I need momentum. And then look, right when this happens, watch this. You only see the sky open a couple times and God talk. We can do a little. Y'all living by the books last year, right? Okay, we still live by it, right? You never hear Jesus talking to God like that. Like talking to God and then God, a voice come out the sky. The 2 times we saw the voice come out the sky, he wasn't even talking to Jesus. Think about it, he wasn't referring nothing to Jesus. He opened the sky, he got baptized, he opened the sky, this is my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased. 2nd time was when they was up on the mountain, and he talking about let's build something, and he got to tell Peter, hey, shut up, listen. This is my, hear him. Stop talking. Hear him. He talking about you. He's giving you who you really are. You get it? The couple times God, he's opened the sky and he said, hear him. And so now, back to my definition. My definition, Jesus showed me something different. So my definition changes. So now even when I read chapter 1, I read the church is not a natural to earth. Of course I'm not. You see that first line on that first page? The church is not natural to earth. Of course I'm not. Say, of course I'm not.
Of course I'm not.
Come on, say it again. Say, of course I'm not natural to earth. It is, and you know you're saying it, right? But we know who is who, right?
Yeah.
So we are.
The church.
What's the next line? God's what?
Habitation.
Yeah, yeah. That's who we are. We use habitation. God lives in us. Mm-hmm. The scripture even says it. Your body is the temple of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Y'all hear that?
Yeah,
yeah, the temple has moved from a temple of brick and mortar to a temple of us. And further down for reading, just when you read, say, I'm just going to read a couple lines. So when you read this, I don't want you to get caught up. I don't want you to get caught up. Everything got to be brought to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
Everything. Everybody. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
So I don't want you to get caught up with temple, buildings, certain places, certain regions that's more spiritual than another. Mm-hmm. Don't get caught up with that. How can one region be more spiritual than another and God is everywhere? We call him omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, right? That's what we say, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How can one place be better than another place if God is everywhere, right? You may be in that place and don't realize. He starts talking about Jacob there in a minute. He said, Jacob starts seeing the angels going up and down the ladder. He said, surely God was in this place and I didn't know it. Yeah, because surely God is in this place. Come on, say it. Surely God has been in this place the whole time. Say it. Place the whole time, and I didn't know it. That should change you. Listen for a minute. That should change you. Surely God has been in this place the whole time, because what else is in there? Right? Maybe some other junk got in my head or some other stuff that people told me, but surely God is in this place, because that's life. The only source of life is the Father. So surely God is in this place. And I didn't know it. Did I know it today? Surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. When I become afraid, surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. When I took a diagnosis that wasn't lined up with what Christ says about, surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. This is the only way I can be fearful, is not knowing that God is in this place. Say, God is in this place. Come on, use your hands. I just want you so you can understand what we're talking about. I'm not talking about this classroom right now, this building, none of that. God is in this place. Come on, say it. God is in this place. Surely God is in this place. And I refuse to not know it. Say it. Where he dwells, where he lives, where he manifests himself without measure. Listen to this for a minute. Listen to this. It is God's tactical operation base where he executes his kingdom, dominion, over the kingdoms of the world and his rule into every domain of the world system. Now see you, don't see the building. Don't see the place, don't see the structure. God bless the structure, God bless your house. Thank God for your house, right? Well, right, we know going inside when it rains, we good, right? I get all that, but surely God is in this place and it is God's tactical headquarters. What better place to hide the secret than inside of you? For a minute, watch out, God. You know, if God had to open up the sky and talk loud, everybody would hear the plan.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the football team announcing their plays before they run it. Right. On the bullhorn. We about to run right. Oh, it's like some church stuff we do, the normal church. We tell them, we going to tear down the kingdom. We coming down. We going to march down the city streets. Well, they know you coming. The enemy's going to be there at the corner waiting on you because y'all done announced it in announcements. But you see, the inside, the inward voice. As he talked to you, Patrick, man, I ain't got to hear you. That's the intimacy with the Father. He'll talk to you, and ain't nobody else got to hear what he's talking to you about. Thank God, right?
Amen.
I know, thank God. Something he got to have some conversation with me about, right?
Yes,
talk to you. But what better way to be a tactical headquarters? You're at war with somebody. You don't want them to know your every move, where you at. That's why they encrypt messages and all that stuff right now in the military. Because nobody's announcing their moves.
Right.
We the only ones announcing our moves. Mm-hmm. Think about it for a second. Come on, we the only part, we the only military in God's army, right?
Mm-hmm.
We the only military that announce our moves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They be waiting on us. Then our moves be 20 years late. Y'all know it's the truth. Y'all know the truth. Nobody will tell y'all know it's the truth. Our move be, we be 5 years after everybody else move. We finally get on it, act like it's something new. That second paragraph, these two essential elements of what the church should be, moves the church from being natural to supernatural. Watch this. God can change his address and start living and moving. Y'all see that? And expressing himself on earth as he did when he had the physical body of, he's talking about you. Now right here, the author right here, I'm going to be honest with you, he gets to talk about the building. Talking about the places. He talking about the organizations.
Yes.
But you read deep, now you have a definition of what church is.
Right.
So now you realize it's moving with you.
Right.
You're the movement. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, right?
Right.
He read it in Matthew 16. The gates of hell shall not prevail.
Right.
That's true, right?
Yes.
Yeah, but gates don't move. That means, is it the gates moving or we moving?
Right.
And the gates can't prevail, so the gates don't move.
Right.
So we move. We're mobile. Everybody say we're mobile. Colossians 1:9, for it is the Father's good pleasure for all fullness to dwell in him. So I'm talking about Jacob, and I don't have time to read it because I want to get back to some other things in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But it talks about Jacob and when he had the when he laid down and saw the dream in Bethel, and the angels were going up and down the ladder, and he makes that statement. It's down at the bottom of the next page, page 2. And he says, it's like the third to last sentence. He says, surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. And he said, how awesome is this place? And I want you to say, how awesome is this place? Say it.
Awesome.
But come on. Do something. Touch yourself on the shoulder.
Awesome.
Feel yourself. How awesome is this place? How surely God is in this place. And I'll make sure that I know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. Say it. Come on, say it. Make it personal. This is none other than the house of God.
This
right here, I want to say this right here, me, is none other than the house of God. It can be nothing else but the house of God. All right, now look, healing power flows through this. Clarity flows through this. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. Because nothing else can live here but God. This is the dwelling place of God. And God evicts everything that's not him. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Many times we're praying for healing, but we need to realize that this is the dwelling place of God. So if this is the dwelling place of God, then whatever that is cannot dwell here in here. It can't stay here. It can go somewhere else, but it can't stay here. This is the dwelling place of God. God evicts everything that ain't him. I'm one with the Father. I'm one with God. Say it. Been trying to tell us. This is none other than the house of God.
This is none other than the house of God.
And this is the gate of heaven.
Prayer.
Lord, so when you pray like this, how did he say? Our Father, come on, who art in heaven, right? So it's oneness. We already call ourselves one because he called him Father.
Mm-hmm.
Who art in where?
Hallowed.
Yeah, where is it? How art in where? Heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Our Father who art in
heaven.
He's in heaven.
Right.
We're cool with that, right?
Yes.
Hallowed be thy name, your character.
Mm-hmm.
Thy kingdom come,
mm-hmm.
right? Your ways
yeah.
come into view. And thy will be done, finished,
mm-hmm.
complete.
Mm-hmm.
Where?
In earth.
We earth.
Yes.
So heaven in.
Earth.
And this is the gate of heaven. Say it. He's not gonna open up no little wormhole, like the like the space people talking about, a wormhole or some kind of, right? No, it's already open. Come on, say, I'm the gateway to heaven. Yeah. See, heaven and earth will come to you by deliverance. See, some people are looking for some deliverance, and heaven and earth are going to be you manifesting it in their lives. Okay. And then not only manifesting, because you have to manifest and duplicate. Listen, because if you manifest and you don't duplicate, you get the glory. You get pat on your back. Amen. No. If I manifest and I cannot duplicate, I failed. This is why a lot of power, a lot of prayers aren't manifested, because we're trying to manifest and not duplicate, not recreate. This is the gate of heaven. Come on, say, this is the gate of heaven. So watch this. Jacob rose early in the morning and took up the stone that he had put under his head. What'd you put under your head at night? A pillow? Uh-huh. I put up the top, watch this. And put it under the head and set it up as a pillar. I put it on top of my page, went from a pillow to a pillar. With what you lay on to what's holding up the church. Listen, it's the rock, the stone. He began to pour oil on it and called the name of that place Bethel. Bethel means a holy place. Say, I am a holy place. Come on, say, this is a holy place. Come on, say it again. Say, this is a holy place. Talked to a young man last night. He said he was dealing with things. I said, well, the reason, how I break addiction? I said, well, the reason you can't break addiction is because you're trying to break addiction. Your whole battle has been trying to behavior modify and break the addiction. But a dancer dances, a singer sings, a painter paints. So if who you are, if you know who you are, this is what you will do.
Yes, sir.
Oh, y'all listen to me.
Yes, sir.
But if you don't know who you are, then you'll do anything. You'll be anybody. And any addiction, anything that comes along, convinces you that it's you in that moment, and there you go. But if I know who I am, listen to me, if I know that I am a holy place, right? I ain't trying to get holy. Come on, say it.
I am holy.
This is a holy place. Come on, say it.
This is a holy place.
So because this is a holy place, come on, repeat it. Because this is a holy place, and because I am holy, my actions are holy.
My actions are holy.
Amen. The paragraph when it says a certain place, an ordinary place, soon became an awesome place. Because of vision. Because of seeing something other than what you had been seeing already. You can be, the Bible is a story about you. Are y'all with me? And so now you have to understand the layers of the understanding that's going on. So now Jacob is in a place, and surely God was in that place, moving up and down, the angels coming up and down the ladder, and he didn't know it until there was a vision in a dream. Then he realized, oh, this normal place becomes a special place. But it was happening. For the sake of time, I won't go further. Maybe I will. It said, but the angels was moving the whole time. The angels was moving before you got there. So the place was already, it was already it. You're already it. But surely God is in this place, and I didn't know it. And then I read in the second, I'm going to go back. But in John 1:51, it says, Jesus is talking to Nathanael, and he said to him, truly, truly, I say unto you, you will see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending, watch this, on the Son of Man. We ain't talking about this place no more. We ain't talking about this geographical place. We're talking about this. You understanding me? We've got to move from this to this. Come on, say it. We've got to move from this to this. Come on, say from this to this. Come on, say from this to this. Indwelling. This is church. This is what he called the church. This is what he was describing when he described the church. Matthew, he's going to Matthew. He says, they said right after Peter said, he said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. He started going off. He said, Peter, he started to, he said, then he started explaining to him how he would be, you know, killed and murdered by the temple people, the people in the temple, the religious folks. Peter said, no, ain't going to happen to you. We're not going to let that happen. Peter trying to hold on to this golden goose. Yeah, Jesus, you've been holding us down. You can't leave us. We special because you. He didn't know Jesus was saying, you special. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He said, but the church looks like this. Church like this, and he says it in this chapter 1, too. He says, get behind me, Satan. He said, thou art an offense to me. For thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Your buildings and your robes and your rituals. Get behind me, Satan. Then said Jesus, he started explaining the church. This is the church. Is you ready? You know what church is? This is what the church looks like, right? I know it's Matthew 16 and we were verse 24. I know. Nobody ever used this for what the church looks like. But this is what the church looks like. You ready? He said, then said Jesus said to the disciples, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself. Let him deny his thought about who he is. And take up his cross and follow me. In other words, deny your thought about who yourself. Take up the cross because we're going to crucify that boy on the cross. So you can walk. Follow doesn't mean behind me. It means with me. When you look at the word following in the Greek, it means coming. You stand in the same way I'm standing. And follow me. For whosoever will save his life will lose it. Whoever tried to save their rituals and their ways and their steps and their rules, they're going to lose it. Who says it loses life, not just loses life, but for my sake, shall find it. So what profited a man to have a worldwide ministry and lose his soul? What profited a man to have a packed church service and lose his soul? They got a lot of church that be packed. Church buildings, that's packed, and the souls are lost. I'll show you where your soul is lost. You know, can I show you where soul is lost at? It's real simple. Where Christ at? If you don't know who he in there, if you don't know you one with him, if you don't know you one with the Father, your soul is lost. When you find out you was one with God? When you find out? Last night, right? When you find out you was one with God, think about it for a minute. We've had the Bible for a long time. We've been in church services for a long time, right? When you find out you was one with God, though, we're still thinking about it. Do I really know? Did I really find out, right? Yeah. Last year, it's been there the whole time, huh? Look at that. Start saying, I'm on page 3 real quick, and it says, this is the church as we know it, church we know as institutional church. We're talking about the organization, the buildings, all that stuff, the praise and worship, the ushers, the greeters, you know, the cell groups, all that stuff that we do, right? Has always been centered for the weary traveler and his needs. So now I want you to think about this for a minute. This unchanged soul has always used this place to meet his own needs. Now let's go. Now we have to use the. I understand. Now we know the church is not geographical, but it's right here, right? So we've always used this for our own needs. We've carried this temple to what we want it to be. Right? We've always used this to appease our thought process of what we think life is. And then we're always a weary traveler looking for something somewhere that's already in you. Y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
We use our temples. I put this in my thing. We use our temples to meet our needs. It said the last line, it said, many people could miss the opportunity of meeting God and end up only using the church to meet their needs. Listen to me, people live and die and have used their temples to go everywhere they want to go. They have relationships, they have children, they make money, they go on trips, they spend a little time in the institutional church building, right? But they go do all these things to fulfill their own needs and miss meeting God. Meeting God where? I would hate it. Thank God we're talking about it right now, right?
Amen. Yes,
I would hate to know that we got a meeting. Like, we met already. But surely he was in this place and I didn't know it. Surely he was in the house already, but I didn't know it. Right? Like, he be in your house, like your physical, like your house where you stay, and you ain't know it. Jesus in the other room, you ain't know it. Right? You in your room crying. Just imagine for a minute. And we're going to use our imagination to imagine this, and then it's closer than what I'm about to imagine, right? Mm-hmm. But imagine you're in this room, and in the next room, Jesus is right there, and you screaming help. Mm-hmm. To the sky, to the wall. You yelling help everywhere else. And he's in the next room. And you never call on the name of. Oh, you do scream the name of Jesus, but you don't know what you're talking about. It's pretty asinine, right? Now, think closer than that. When you laid down, he laid down. When you walk out this room, he go, there's no separation. But surely he can, it's a possibility he can be in this place and I not know it. Once again, I'm going to say it again because it's powerful. I want to say it again. I have to listen to this again myself. That every fearful moment, every worried moment, every confused moment, every unhealthy moment, everything that's outside of the character of God means that surely God is in this place and I didn't know it. Because there's no way God is in this place and I'm fearful. I'm fearing for my life. My life is not my own anyway. He who tried to save his life is gone. Fear, the first thing fear wants you to do is self-preserve. Right? The first thing it does is self-preserve. I got to protect myself. Right? And I'll knock you for that. Get out of the way. Right? But the first thing fear says is self-preserve. How can I feel? It's not my life. I don't mean just be an idiot and stand there when gunshots go off. But y'all understand what I'm saying. Open heaven, I wrote this down. It was cool. I'm just reading this. And it's open heaven. Formerly, Abraham had dwelt between Ai and Bethel. And I circled Ai and Bethel. I said, until he finally built an altar at Bethel and called upon the name of the Lord, called upon the character of the Lord, until he finally called upon the character of the Lord, until he was in between until he finally called into the character of the Lord. Y'all see that? Yeah. Now, the Bible's a story about you, right? Look, I circled Ai and Bethel. Because AI in 2019 is artificial intelligence. Now, that might have been the name of the city or the place at this time, but in my mind, that fits so well right now. Artificial. Robots. Hold on. Artificial intelligence. That means it was made up by man. Artificial means it ain't real. Right? But it's still intelligence. But it's just not real. Artificial intelligence right now, we say it's man-made, it's robots. So you move from being a robot to a holy place. Bethel's a holy place, AI. Come on, I circle that thing. I said, God dog, I said, artificial, what? Between AI and a holy place. You stuck in between. We stuck in between. Because surely God is in this place and I. But I refuse to not know. I refuse to let myself not know that God is in this place. Come on, say it. God is in this place. Next time you got to get up and speak to somebody, you got to minister to somebody, you got to witness somebody, God is in this place. Imagine your witness. We talked about this last class. Imagine your witness to go to somebody and tell them God is in this place, but you don't know it. Can I say, yeah, you can say that God is in that place. What else in there? If God ain't in there... This is some real artificial intelligence. God's in the place. I didn't know it. God is in that place, but you don't know it. trying to break habits that are already broken. But God is in that place, but you just didn't know it. It's church. This is deliverance. This is freedom. Freedom does not come from the hands of another man. It comes from within man. You free yourself.
Amen.
I may be an avenue to your freedom, but you'll free yourself from the God within. Because surely God is in this place. I'm on page 4. It says Jacob. I'm down to the paragraph right before the scriptures, right in the top two scriptures. It says the heavens are open over the region. Angels ascending, the region became open heaven to rain. Jacob saw the angels ascending and descending on the ladder because they were already here. It was already going on. It was already happening. But God was in the place and he didn't know it. Then that's when we see John 1:51 right down. It says the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Let's do this real quick. I got a couple minutes left. Ephesians 4. Now, we're not just saying God is in this place because we want to be special. This is what Jesus is telling us. John 15, I don't have time to go to, but John 15 says, if you abide, he said, me and my Father come in and dwell. We're living. Not in a building. And you. Remember, Jesus didn't commission any buildings. He didn't commission any. He didn't say, let's go build some new temples. We got enough. And God bless that. But we got enough of them. We got enough meeting places. Now it's time for you to be. In Ephesians 4, and we're going to read this a lot in these classes, is I'm just going to read through it for a quick second, so for the sake of time. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. It's a letter from Paul to the church of Ephesus. Okay, after the book of Acts, you see all these are letters to churches and cities. Okay, so you don't see a lot of action going on. You really don't hear a lot about no miracles or nothing. It's straight information being given about what's going on. You have to know what you're reading. It's just Living by the Book Part 2, all right? Mm-hmm. We carry it with us. So now, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity, one, that's one, right? One, the unity of the spirit of the bond and peace. There is how many bodies? One. And how many spirits? One spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all and through and in. Now, he's covering all the bases. Where you going to look? He ain't there. Above all, in all, through all. Yeah. Father of all. Equal with all. Because the Father is the Son equal. Yeah. What you trying to tell you? Surely God is in this place. See, and the reason I'm stressing on God being in this place is because that's the only place we thought he wasn't. That's the only place we got caught lacking. The only lack in our soul is in our soul. We never had a problem believing God is sitting on the throne. We never... omnipresent, what that mean? He everywhere? Everywhere but in you, huh? Why didn't we put it together? And then now, love your neighbor as you love you. Everywhere but in them. There's a devil in you. You ain't nothing but the devil in you. come on, boom. Mind blown, right? But every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of what? Christ. You see verse 7? Yeah, the gift of Christ. What if we say when he ascended upon high, he led captivity to captive and gave gifts unto men? Now that he ascended, what is it also that he descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Question. He that descended, the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill how many things?
All things.
What?
All things.
He might fill how many things?
All
That sounds like one. That sounds like a unit. That sounds like nothing left out. Mm-hmm. Nobody left out. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Are y'all with it? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, and the, watch this, and the perfecting of the saints is for the work of the ministry. That's the order. And then the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry is for the edifying of the body. It's in that order. Are y'all with it? Watch this. Now, we got that one. We got that. We do the ministry helps class and all that. We get that down. For the perfecting of the saints, work of the ministry, edifying the body. Edifying, what is edifying the body? And it says, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of what? To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we all realize that we're one in Christ with the Father. This is what it's all about. If we don't end there, if that is not the gavel wrap, we wrap the gavel, if that's not the final conclusion, to every message that we hear, we hadn't heard a message. A message that turned to a mess. Surely God is in this place. God is in this place. God is in this place. It's time you're fearful.